alone, I met somebody, mama, me, not a daughter. Fake me, I put it out, mama, me, my such a cook. Sit it on your bisha, all the eat the wa, eat the venus, and a buckle out of the man, Benny.
Oh, ma, ma. Da, 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 da. Ah, Louis Prima. Hey, he's no Drake.
She called me on my cell phone. She called me on my cell phone.
Anyway, it's the decline of America. You know, rap is rap, hip hop's hip hop. It's not music. It's attitude, it's poetry, call it whatever you want. There are no instruments in it. Cats aren't playing. You know, it's all synthesized, computerized, homogenized. One beat fits all. Anyway, and that's what's happened to the entire country. It's to me, again, you know, the motto of the Trends Research Institute and the Trends Journal, think for yourself. So that's the way we see it. And all you need is to look at other evidence. The decline, the lowering of the bar, the lowering of the standards. You know, you heard Obama over there when he was giving that speech at Howard University a few weeks ago when he said, Shiona Rhimes, whoever her name is, rules Thursday night and Beyonce runs the world. What a stupid comment. Can you imagine Eisenhower saying something like that? It never happened to statesmen. Now we got the clown over there running for president over there who we're forecasting is going to win, Donald Trump. You want to see a low bar? And listen to his language. Okay, okay. He always says, okay. Excuse me, excuse me. I keep thinking, where does he have to go, to the bathroom? Because that's all he's doing is spewing out a lot of crap. Maybe he wants to be excused. Anyway, we'll get to that later. And let's take a look at the economy first. The numbers coming out a week at best, and a week around the world. The Purchasing Managers Index coming out of China is in negative territory. In the States, it barely moved. You look at one piece of data after another, at best the recovery has only recovered for the very, very rich. And again, I'm not making that up. It's statistical fact that the United States, since Obama, the liar-in-chief, the con man supreme, by the way, what he's doing, just how he lied his way into office, and listening to the show preceding me, the gentleman said how Obama, as candidate Obama, promised to revisit NAFTA, and then when he won the nomination, he dropped that quickly and now, of course, is trumpeting around the world supporting the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Just like he conned his way into office, he's conning his way out. And the con man in chief over there, again, he's a disgusting traitor to America, the way he lied his way in, sucking all people in with that anti-war baloney of his. And then as soon as he gets in, he has a troop surge of some 35,000 troops into Afghanistan and was still in the wars they promised to get out of. One of the things, just circling back to the economy and the 1% getting everything, how he promised to bring Wall Street to justice. Yeah, just us. He spelt it wrong. You know, we're the only ones they clamped down on. All the criminals over there got a free ride as he brought in, I'm going to clean Washington, sweep it clean. And he brings in the whole Bush and Clinton team, including Eric Slimer Holder, now working for one of the white shoe boy firms over there in on Wall Street that was the attorney general that didn't prosecute anyone, too big to jail, was his line. Anyway, so the wealth went to the 1%. 95% of the wealth generated since the panic of 08, it's a fact, in the United States went to 1%. And globally, it's reported that 10% control 85% of the world's total wealth. So when we're looking at the economy, as we do very closely, let's look at some of the facts that are going on that's showing why we believe there's going to be not a happy ending to all of this quantitative easing, zero interest rate policy, and negative interest rate policy. Again, we'll only look at the facts. Today, for example, there was some good news, and that was that the manufacturing purchasing managers index in May topped expectations. It came in at 51.3, and they were only looking for 50.5. But, you know, that's only part of the story. Because when you look across the board, around the world, there's no recovery. I was mentioning in China, for example, China's manufacturing PMI fell to 49.2. Remember, below 50 is contraction. And this is for the 15th straight month that its official PMI is either flat or a negative. And China, of course, is the world's second largest economy. And then we look at what's going on in Japan as well. And there's a slowdown. There is no growth. So what they do is they'll take one number and pump it up. But when you look at yesterday and you look at Chicago's purchasing managers index, it came in below expectations and in contraction territory at 49.3. And the Dallas Fed manufacturing index declined to a minus 20.8 in May. So as they're talking about recovery, the facts really don't show it. And here's a trend forecasting lesson. What we do as trend forecasters, we often look to the grassroots up and the top down to identify market sector advances or declines. So, for example, when you look at the whole clean food revolution, and by the way, as many of you may or may not know, I coined that term, clean food, back in 1993 in the Trends Journal. And in fact, the New York Times did a major story on it. That was a from the bottom-up movement. The whole organic is a bottom-up movement. You see the big corporations now trying to do away with, you know, chicken that are, you know, farm-raised and antibiotic and crap-fed. That is because of the response from the bottom up. I remember when health food stores were hardly anywhere around, and the only place you'd find them was in inner cities. They're mostly decaying inner cities. And then, of course, it started to change. But it was a bottom-up movement. The referendums going on around the world, except in the United States, the land of democracy. We have virtually no referendums, so we the people have no voice. They're bottom-up movements. But then you look from the top down, too. And just to give you an idea of what's going on and how to observe trends, take gold and diamond jewelry sales. They're slumping. Why is that important? Well, you know, there's an ancient proverb that says the fish rots from the head down. So whether it's an organization or a state that you see failing, or a city, you don't have to look too far, that fails due to leadership at the top being the root of the cause, the fish rots from the head down. Going back to gold and jewelry slumping, retail is rotting from the head down. So they could blame it on the internet, but that's bigger than that. Yes, the internet is definitely taking sales away from a lot of the malls and chain stores. And as we all do, if you need something and you don't want to run out and get it, you just order it online. So that stops you also when you go to buy something and you go into a store and you're only looking for one item. You say, well, I'm here. What else do I need if you have the extra cash to spend? That doesn't happen when you do it online. You get what you need, and usually that's the end of the story. So going back to gold and diamond jewelry slumping, retail is also rotting from the head down. So I mentioned that 95% of the income gains in the United States went to the top 1% since the panic of 08. And global wealth pyramid, it's at 10%. They control some 85% of the world's total wealth. So now let's look at what's going on. Let's look at the top. As I said, we look at trends. They often come from the bottom up or the top down. This is a top-down trend. Again, the fish rots from the head down. Take a look at Burberry, a Hugo Boss, Cartier, or Tiffany. They're all reporting down sales. Foot traffic is off. Profits are slumping. And what are they doing? They're closing stores. Their markets are shrinking. So when you look across the luxury spectrum, beyond jewelry, watches, valuable gifts, which are among the worst performers, again, on the high end, even sales of luxury apartments are falling around the world, some 20%. These are the prime markets. So you put it together. Okay, the fish is rotting from the head down, whether it's leadership at a city, a state, or a nation. You look, for example, what's going on with TSA. What a joke. The fish is rotting from the head down. Look at Obamacare. The system is failing. The system is rotting from the head down. Inept leadership and lousy development of systems. Environmental Protection Agency, military, one failure after another. It fails at the top. So now again, bringing it back to retail. We're looking again at a decline across the luxury spectrum, beyond jewelry and watches. As I mentioned, high-end real estate. So, let's go back to gold and diamonds. These are the top of retail. And they're two important key indicators that signal both a weakening global economy and, as we see it, ensuing economic turmoil. So, when you see and read the reports, you know, hear the reports from the luxury sectors, what they're blaming the soft sales on are a decline in tourism. Okay, could buy that. But what they fail and they leave out in their reports is, why is tourism down? Well, I just mentioned, as a matter of fact, what's going on in China, what's going on in Japan with the decline in markets. So, of course, people aren't traveling as much as they used to because they can't afford to. But they don't say that. They can't afford to because they don't have the money. So on the gold front,
demand for gold jewelry, according to the World Gold Council, has plummeted in China, in India, in 2016. And you know how they love gold in India. I think almost as much as curry, you know. So if gold prices, sales aren't going up in India and China, two of the world's largest purchases of gold jewelry, you know something is amiss in terms of what's going on economically. And overall, according to the World Gold Council, they're looking at jewelry, gold-driven demand down nearly 20% for the first quarter of this year. Now, by the way, this is at a time when gold prices have gone up some 16% since the start of the year. So usually when prices go up on gold, demand for gold also goes up. Not this time. Why? Well, go back to our top trends of 2016, and you can do that by going to our website, trendsresearch.com, and you can see it in our trend forecasts and trends in the news and trends monthly, and on and on and on. It's a global slowdown. That's why gold sales are down. Then you take a look at diamonds. Guess what? As we see it, they're no longer a girl's best friend, and diamonds aren't forever. They may last forever, but the deal is changing. Again, look at the top, De Beers. And by the way, I was a keynote speaker for De Beers in South Africa at their Sightholders Conference a number of years ago. And the Sightholders Conference, in order to get the top products from De Beers, you have to be a sightholder, they call it. So you have to have these contracts that I believe they run about every 3 years. And they brought me over to South Africa. And I was one of the three keynote speakers along with the president of Botswana. And they brought me there to tell the sightholders, these are diamond cutters and sellers, that it would be in their best interest to reinvest in the countries where they're mining the diamonds rather than extracting them and grabbing every penny that they can and putting nothing back in. And they hired me to do this because they know that I can't be paid off, bought off, and I speak what I believe. So that was my message. And showing them that you see what was going on at the time in Venezuela and Bolivia and other nations where, in Uruguay, excuse me, El Salvador, where they were nationalizing more and more of the natural resources, and that they also risked that with diamonds if they didn't give back into the community. And it was very well received. I don't know what happened afterwards, but anyway, going back to De Beers, they currently sell some 35% of the world's rough diamond production. And in the last year, underlying earnings shrunk 72%. That's a lot. Why? Well, they'll blame it on tourism. Again, why aren't the tourists traveling? Because they can't afford it, and their economies around the world are declining. It's a global slowdown. It's not only the Chinese and Japanese that were buying stuff. There were the Brazilians. There were all these emerging market nations where things were booming that are now reversing. And again, it's beyond diamonds. It's an entire luxury sector. Again, the fish rots from the head down. And that's why we're looking at retail rotting from the head down. So, what's going on? The diamond producers are now predicting a sales recovery, especially in the United States, which accounts for some 45% of demand. But their forecast runs counter to current and emerging trend lines that we see developing. So, again, once upon a time, diamonds were a girl's best friend, but not so much anymore. It has been going on, you know, since the mid-20th century. Great marketing campaigns, diamonds are forever, on and on. They sold the line and people bought it. So we forecast diamonds will lose their glow. You know why? Particularly among the millennial generation. Now remember, who are the millennial generation? Well, they're the biggest demographic sector in the world. How about that? Particularly as the baby boomers, once the largest, are dying out, and they're not buying that much diamonds anymore anyway. They got more than what they need, and if they need the money, they're selling what they have. So when you look at the baby boom generation, remember, this is a trend forecasting lesson that we're passing on how we forecast trends, again, looking from the bottom up to the top down, looking at all the global nomic interactions and interfacing of the trend lines that merge and diverge. This is how we see what's going on and how, again, taking just gold and diamond jewelry slumping and looking at the entire retail sector, it's rotting from the head down. The millennials, well, they're late to marry. Not like in the old days. You know, people got married in their teens and early 20s. Poof, they're postponing it for later or for never. And they're kind of like a romance-deprived, cash-poor generation. Cash-poor? Hey, how come they're not buying homes? Well, because they can't afford it. Why not? Well, let's look at college debt. I've run through the data with you week after week. What is it, $1.3 trillion? When you look at the facts, and I've gone through them with you before, you're looking at home ownership rate for households headed by someone under 35 years old fell 34% in the first quarter of this year. The lowest level since at least 1994, according to the U.S. Census data. I mentioned college debt. So college grads with student debt, they have to save for 15 years before they have enough money to put 20% down to buy a house. Even college grads without debt, they need almost 5 years to save 20%. And for those who haven't graduated from college, the wait to buy a home is as bad as those who graduate college and have college debt. They have to wait 15.5 years. Now let's make the connections, the global nomic connections going back to diamonds. They're not a girl's best friend, and millennials can't afford it anymore. The numbers are there because when you put it together, according to that Pew Research Center study that came out about a week and a half ago, in the United States, for the first time in over 130 years, adults 18 to 34 are living with their parents at home, their parents' home, rather than starting their own household with a spouse or a partner. This, by the way, is old news to Trends Journal subscribers. Pew Research Center just figured it out. Because if you read my book, Trend 2000 that I wrote in 1996, which was a national bestseller in 17 different languages. We wrote that you're waking up in the new millennium and there's the re-extended family. And we showed how, because of college debt and lousy jobs, people wouldn't be moving out of their homes like they used to. So there you have it. So when you put the trend line together, when you look at the top of the economic scale having peaked, again, that's that 10% that own 85% of the world's wealth, the middle class shrinking, it's now a minority in the United States, 51% of the population is earning under $30,000 a year. And when you look at the data that I just went through with 18 to 34-year-olds living with their parents rather than owning their own house with a spouse or a partner, gold and diamond jewelry sales, despite what the industry said, along with the entire luxury sector, we forecast will continue to decline. Again, all things are connected. And the connections are showing that there is no recovery. The money, as we've mentioned very clearly, has gone to the top of the pyramid. So you're seeing a total global slowdown. And again, what has the markets riled and what's pushing gold prices in general down is that, you know, our Fed chair, Janet Yellen, just spoke at Harvard this past weekend. Everybody's waiting for a speech at Harvard. And she says that we should expect rate hikes coming soon. It's appropriate for the Fed to gradually and cautiously increase our overnight interest rate over time. And probably in the coming months, such a move would be appropriate. It would have been appropriate back in 2008 rather than funneling all this dough that you did to enrich the filthy rich. Again, I'm not making up the numbers. You know them. What are they, that Oxfam report, some 85 people or 60-something people in that range have more money in the world than half the world's population combined. And then you have all the merger and acquisition activity that just keeps going on because they borrowed money for nothing and made the bigs bigger. And they just keep generating more and more cash for nothing. Not investing it back in the community, into the society, or into the economy. They use it to buy back stocks at about over $60 billion a month. That's the only thing that's keeping the markets generating at any level. And, of course, mergers and acquisition activity. So they should have raised rates a long time ago, and they're making a big deal that they may raise them 25 basis points either in June or July, when they only raised them once in 10 years, and that was in December, and only 25 basis points. And again, this is a war on savers and a war on the people, because we have no place to put our money. We used to be able to put it in banks, CDs, certificates of deposit, and get a rate of return on it. And people actually used to retire on their savings. Those days are gone. But what also is done, it's made, as I said, the filthy rich richer and the merger and acquisition activity even greater. You know, last year was record-breaking. So what does this mean? Again, making the connections. While the bigs get bigger, their profit margins get thinner. The more they gobble up, the more they also have to let go in different sectors because they're not making enough profit on them and their debt burden is so huge. So they sell off or drop unprofitable market sectors, leaving opportunities for those with an eye on trends and a vision for the future. And of course, that's what our On Trendpreneur conference that we're going to be holding here on Friday and Saturday, July 22nd, 23rd, and it's almost sold out in historic Colonial Kingston at the 1774 Academy. And Gary Noll is up here. He knows how beautiful it is. I mean, think about it. It's the most historic corner in the United States. And we hold trend forecasting conferences in a academy that had some of the greatest names in America at that location learning there. So we're passing on that tradition. And as you may or may not know, if you watch Russia Today, and there's the Kaiser Report, Max Kaiser and Stacey Herbert and other invited guests are going to be joining us at this On Trendpreneur conference. And again, people are coming from all over the world. They're coming from Chile, Ireland, Italy, Hong Kong, Australia, from coast to coast, from Canada, from Calgary to Montreal, from California to New York and Boston. People from all over the world will be here. It's very important. Very few conferences attract this kind of an audience, and it's affordable. And the reason we attract them is because we're offering trend insights, observations, and on-trendpreneur opportunities, frankly, that you won't be able to find anywhere else. And if you want a glimpse of what our trend forecasting conferences look like, well, you could go to our website, trendsresearch.com, and you can purchase one of our videos. And the one, of course, that's up there now is when Gary Noll was here, along with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, Ronald Reagan's former Assistant Treasury Secretary, saying what was really going on in the Reagan White House. Things you hear that you won't hear anywhere else. It'll give you an example of the dynamics, and it's a very affordable video, and it's a lot more than that. I'm in it as well, talking about trends developing and the future and where it's heading. So that will give you an idea what the conferences are about. I'm also mentioning that to you because this conference will not be available on video, because we will be providing proprietary information to attendees that are coming from all over the world. So, due to the proprietary information we'll share, there won't be a video. So to register and to find out more information, I suggest you call Taryn Clark. It's Taryn with a T. Taryn Clark at the Trends Research Institute, 845-331-3500, 845-331-3500. Again, this all ties in. I mentioned to you about what's going on with gold and jewelry, gold and diamond jewelry sales, how that's changing because of globalnomic fundamentals and interlocking factors. Let's take that to another level. People will still be getting married. They'll still be buying gifts. What gems will they be buying, if not diamonds? What jewelry will they be buying, if not gold, or if not at all? Those are the kind of insights and observations that provide new opportunities to fill market gaps that are either being let go because of the too big to fails, got too big, and are letting go of market sectors, or because of new opportunities developing that the bigs don't see, because all they could look at is the bottom line. They have no trend vision. So trend vision at this Entrepreneur Conference, Friday and Saturday, July 22nd and 23rd, that we're holding here in Colonial Kingston, that's almost sold out, is going to provide those opportunities to fill the market gap. I want to make this really clear. I mentioned 10% of the world's wealth, according to reports, 10% of the world's population, according to world reports, holds some 85% of the world's wealth. That's still a lot of people when you have a world of 7 billion people plus. Go back 100 years ago, a little bit more, 1900. We had 1.5 billion people on the planet. That's right. 1.5 billion. Despite two world wars and ongoing wars of terror, we now have an estimated 7.2 billion. Some say more. So 10% of 7.2 billion is still a lot of people. And then, of course, it doesn't stop at that level. It goes down to maybe 20, up to 20%, 25%. So you can see where the top is and you can see where the bottom is. There are opportunities. I want to make this clear. Yes, the economy is going to go down, but that doesn't mean there aren't opportunities. Look at the Great Depression. The greatest, happiest happening music that this nation ever knew. Swing time. Look at the fashion. Look at the movies. Look at the art. Great art. Whether it was from the labor movement, the Art Deco that had been developing and was further developed. And by the way, it developed at its highest level when there were periods of peace. Because when there's peace, the emotions go into creating more beauty in art rather than the emotions being overtaken by fear. And that's what we have now, a continuing war on terror and ongoing fear. So to find out more about the opportunities ahead, as in these rapidly changing times, you want to attend the Entrepreneur Conference. And that's Friday and Saturday, July 22nd and 23rd in historic Colonial Kingston, New York. Max Kaiser, Stacy Herbert, and other invited guests. Call Taryn Clark at the Institute, 845-331-3500. Remember when I was a kid, they used to have these ads. Call Bigelow 6, 8400. It ain't Connecticut. Murray Hill 5. Anyway, 845-331-3500. On to some other global news. And you know what the big global news is? Well, one of them is President Obama, as I was mentioning before. The con man in chief conned his way into office, and now he's conning his way out. Yeah, making trips around the world, Vietnam. No apology for what we did in Vietnam. Starting a war based on lies. Nope. And of course, when he was there, he was pumping the Trans-Pacific Partnership, telling the Vietnamese how good it was going to be for them, and that he was selling it as well because they'll be able to buy products made in America. Hey, you liberals, you know what products are made in America? Yeah, bullets and bombs. You know my slogan, Harvard, Princeton, Yale. Bullets, bombs, and banks club. The elites, the arrogance. Oh, yeah, you know that. Larry Summers. Yeah, oh, you can't say Larry Summers without saying brilliant. Yeah, the former Harvard president. Yeah, the guy that was Slick Willie Clinton's U.S. Treasury secretary that killed the Glass-Steagall Act and made all those derivatives a part of the ugly life of Wall Street. Yeah, those kind of arrogant people. Princeton, Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow. What mother would name a kid Woodrow? Former president of Princeton. That's right. Gave us World War I after he lied his way into office. Kind of like Obama. Lied his way into office as the peace candidate. A piece of crap candidate. Yep. Not going to bring you folks into World War I. Not in that disgusting, unnecessary war. But he brought our boys over there, once he got elected. Yep, another liar in chief. The fish rots from the head down. And look at the nation rots as our rotted leaders ruin this nation. Yeah, oh yeah, Woodrow Wilson, Harvard, Princeton, Yale, bullets, bombs, and banks. Hey, don't you love the cat, man? Yeah, the Princeton man brought us the Federal Reserve System. That's right. Virtually every election in the 1800s for president was against a central bank, a private bank, taking us over. But he sold us out, man. Harvard, Princeton, Yale, bullets, bombs, and banks, and bad attitudes. And by the way, a bunch of guys with cojones the size of mothballs because they shoot off their mouths, but they never lead the charge. They send others to do their dirty work because they're just dirty boys and dirty girls that want to get you killed but never send their sons or daughters. Nope, not the senator's sons, but the president's daughters. Go fight and die. Anyway, oh, also Woodrow, hey, you love those federal income tax. Isn't it great? Yeah. Don't you love to go pay taxes every year and give our money to the failing federal government to rob us of all our dough and give it to their buddies? Oh, going back to Vietnam. Federal income tax? Well, that came from Woodrow Wilson. But going back to bullets, bombs, and banks? Yeah, Obama lifted the sanctions, the embargo, so now we can sell Vietnam weapons, folks. That's Obama's words. So you can maintain your security. Where are the liberals? If Bush was doing this, all those little Woodstockers, man, they'd be screaming, or maybe they'd be standing on the corner. Yeah, every Saturday protesting in silence. But not when Obama does it. Nope. So then, of course, he goes visits Hiroshima. And the big deal was he going to apologize for the United States killing innocent people in Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Here's what he said. Technological progress without the equivalent progress in human institutions could doom us. Adding that technology requires a moral revolution as well. Hey, got some. No, technology doesn't need a moral revolution. Morality comes from within. Whether you use a bow and arrow or an atom bomb, whether Napoleon takes some, 240,000 men in his march to Moscow and comes back with 10,000, you didn't need a nuclear bomb to kill all those cats and all the people in the ways he went there. But hey, it's Obama. He can make any kind of garbage up he wants. Any imbecile that says Beyonce runs the world would associate technology with morality. Hey, put your finger on the trigger. That's morality. Whether it comes from a bow and arrow, a gun, or a nuclear weapon. He goes on to say a lot of disgusting things. The world was forever changed here, but today the children of the city will go through their day in peace. What a crap line. What a precious thing that is. It's worth protecting and then extending to every child. That is the future we can choose. A future in which Hiroshima and Nagasaki are known not as the dawn of atomic warfare, but as the start of our own moral awakening. Moral awakening. Let's see. Libya. Oh, yeah, what a moral you... That's right. You woke them up with them bombs. It was a humanitarian mission that killed almost, what, some 30,000 people? Destroyed an entire nation? It's in total chaos now? Moral? Where are your morals? What moral person would do that? Oh, I forgot. After you did it, you jumped on a plane with your mother-in-law, wife, and kids immediately and took a trip down to Rio. I forgot that one, too. Morality? No boots on the ground in Syria. Got them now. Hey, you saw those photos that came out of American soldiers? Yeah, hardly made the news. Agency France came out with it. Hardly reported in the United States. How about those troops in in Iraq? No more boots on the ground? Morality? Afghanistan, Libya, Somalia, Sudan. The list goes on. The murder that you keep causing. Hey, how about them drone strikes? Morality, technology? Nah. Morality's in the heart and the soul, not in the weapon that you use to kill people. So the big deal was he going to apologize? Of course he didn't apologize. Sociopaths never apologize. This traitor to America who lied his way into office in 2008, breaking every campaign promise that he gave us, again, is doing the same con job to get himself into office as he got out of office. Playing the man of peace, a peace prize winner. And of course, the peace prize is nothing more than the Nobel Peace of Crap Prize, because that's who you give it to. Yeah. Yeah, you remember Obama, right? Remember that great speech he gave over there in Prague when he won the Nobel Peace Prize, and how he was going to get rid of them nuclear weapons? Isn't that great, huh? Yep. A weapons-free world, he tells the people. Well, according to the Pentagon, America's nuclear arsenal shows that the Obama administration has reduced the stockpile less than any other post-Cold War presidency. Hey, you liberals, don't you love it? Yeah. Oh, he's better than Bush. Hey, also convicted more whistleblowers. That's right, than any of the presidents combined. But you forget that, you Woodstock folks. Yep. That's your Obama. And that's your liar. Liar in chief. He never stops. One lie after another. The media keep printing it. And Obama keeps spewing it out. We have known the agony of war. Let us now have the courage together to spread peace and pursue a world without nuclear weapons. That's what he wrote at the site in Hiroshima. Let us now find the courage together to spread peace as you spread war. What am I missing here? Pursue a world without nuclear weapons? What did I miss over here? You're the guy that anti-war president, right? Yeah. Like all the rest, he's pro-war. He voted for George Bush's funding for the slaughter in Iraq. The weeks before he took his presidential oath, he approved the Israeli attack on Gaza. You remember that, Operation Cast Lead. Yeah, slaughtering them innocent people. Yep. And you know, hey, folks, I'm offended by him calling us folks. Don't talk back to me. Folks, folks, you. Yeah, his first day, he promised to close Guantanamo in the first year, and he pledged to make the world, quote, free from nuclear weapons. And again, his reduction of the nuclear arsenal is the slowest under any post-Cold War president, or Cold War president. And under Obama, hey, got no money for Flint to fix their water? They're going to spend an estimated $1 trillion to upgrade our nuclear arsenal. Isn't that great, huh? What a guy. What a guy. So there we have it. See where things are going. And how the media is also helping Obama bring his legacy of a man of peace to the fore, and a failure. Again, I mentioned Howard University. I read these whole speeches. He told his students that they have to vote. If they don't vote, it's their fault. And how few people voted in the midterm elections. Hey, Obama, the reason they didn't vote is because they got a bunch of slimers like you and all the rest, the Pelosi's, the Reid's, the McConnell's, the Lindsey Graham's, the John McCain's, the Chucky Schumer's, all the lowlifes that people don't want to support. That's why they didn't vote. But no, Obama blamed it. If he had the support of Congress, then he could have done more. And he gets away with it. They all applaud. Hey, did you forget that you had a Democratic Congress when you got elected? But you can't remember that far. Or you choose not to. And again, the media just whitewashes this stuff. Over and over again, they leave out or choose to frame it in a way that only makes it look good for him. This is from the toilet paper of record. Oh, excuse me, the paper of record. The New York Slimes. The New York Times. Yeah, the people that led us into the Iraq War. You remember them aluminum tubes and that yellow cake and one war after another? Yeah, that New York Slimes. Toilet paper. Quote, they're talking about Obama's speech. Many historians believe the bombings on Hiroshima and then Nagasaki, which together took the lives of more than 200,000 people, saved lives on balance, since an invasion of the island would have led to far greater bloodshed. But the 30-acre Peace Memorial Park that Obama visited reflects none of that background. What propaganda? What disgusting human beings wrote this? Let me look. Gardner Harris. Yeah. What propaganda? Many historians believe. Maybe many historians believe the crap that you want to sell. How about this one? The Japanese were ready to surrender, and it wasn't necessary to hit them with that awful thing. Oh, Dwight D. Eisenhower said that. Well, what does he know? He was only the 5-star general, supreme commander of the Allied forces in World War II. 2-term Republican president. warned us about the military industrial complex. But whitewash it. Don't say that. Why should Eisenhower be quoted? And by the way, the people that suffer from the wars are the civilians, not the military. Their losses are minor compared to the losses of the civilians that are slaughtered, innocent people. It is my opinion that the use of this barbarous weapon at Hiroshima and Nagasaki was of no material assistance in our war against Japan. The Japanese were already defeated and ready to surrender because of the effective sea blockade and the successful bombing with conventional weapons. My own feeling was that in being the first to use it, we had adopted an ethical standard common to the barbarians of the Dark Ages. I was not taught to make war in that fashion. And wars cannot be won by destroying women and children. Why, what left-wing pinko commie said that? Admiral William Leahy, the chief of staff under Harry Truman. Occupy peace. It's the only way forward. Because the madmen in chief keep leading us to war. Obama has spread wars throughout the world. And all of the liberals keep blaming it that, oh, he can't do anything to stop it. Oh, yeah. Syria, Iraq, Libya, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Yemen, Somalia. Yep, troops on the ground. So there you have it. That's this week. And this week in trends. And remember our conference, the Entrepreneur Conference, to get ahead of the trends and on top of the news, call 845-331-3500. And thank you for having me on Progressive Radio Nation, Radio Network. And remember, the future is in your hands. Don't drop it. Sempre baccalare dal mano bene. Se ci picchia quando si è baccalare, picchia me. Mamma dear, come over here and see who's looking in.